8 a.m. Good morning. This is where the nation's biggest conversations begin every morning. My name is Irene Lasso. Well, the Swedish Embassy in Dubai is celebrating its National Day. And to hear more about this day, I'm joined in the studio by the head of office at the Swedish Embassy, Thomas Brodin, and program specialist Marcus Larsson. Good morning, gentlemen, and thank you so much for making our time to speak to us today.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Right. So let's just begin with the National Day. Tell us about this day.
Yes, this is the National Day of Sweden. Actually was formed only as late as 2005, so it's quite late. And we don't have the National Day based on, you know, a battle or something. It's actually based on when we formed the Swedish Constitution.
Right.
So that's the reason why we have the and this year is quite a special National Day. We have like 500 years ago since we elected the King Gustav Vasa, who formed a strong central government of Sweden and then developed into democracy. It's 50 years since the current king has been being the king, and that makes him the longest serviced king ever in Sweden.
Right.
We also have, you know, other things, like we have been in South Sudan for actually 50 years. We started here with Church of Sweden and the Pentecostal Church and Save the Children 50 years ago. So we have many things that we are celebrating this very day, this year.
Right. So what are some of the activities you have lined up for this event?
Oh, it's quite, we are quite enthusiastic about what's going to happen today. We have honorable speaker by the Minister of Environment and Forestry that will come. And we also have the first, actually, a newly formed vocal group, maybe the first vocal group that we have seen here, the Juba vocal group led by Gabriel Jokwe. And they will sing the Swedish national anthem in Swedish.
Oh,
that's quite. Yeah.
How long did it take them to learn the language?
Well, we started. I have a friend singing in the choir of the Pentecostal Church.
Right.
And we started to sing together, and so I asked her, "Can't you, you know, bring some friends and sing the Swedish national anthem?" We met a month ago, and then they have practiced many times, I assume. And now they can sing it by heart, not even without any text, in Swedish.
That? Wow. Okay, so is this event happening at your premises, or where is it happening?
Yes, it will happen at the Embassy of Sweden office that we will have, and of course it's a closed session. Mm. But we do not, some of the radio stations, they will broadcast it live.
Right.
So you can hear this vocal group and you will hear the speeches.
Right. Looking forward to that. Well, Marcus, you are the program specialist at the Swedish Embassy. Can you just tell us some of the projects that the Swedish government is implementing in South Sudan?
Absolutely, and thank you for having us here. So Sweden has quite a solid portfolio here in South Sudan that supports a range of different areas, such as peaceful and inclusive societies and access to basic public services. Mm-hmm. And one area I would especially like to highlight is that we are working together with UNFPA, United Nations Population Fund, to strengthen women's and girls' sexual and reproductive health, SRHR, which in its essence is about everyone's right to decide over their own body and to have access to health care. And last year, over 400,000 people were provided with maternal and child and family planning services, and 152 midwives graduated from different health science institutes, and over 5,200 survivors of gender-based violence got access to services. And of course, sexual and reproductive health and rights is a key area for development. The Swedish Embassy is also supporting the peaceful and inclusive society, and we are working on peace building and social cohesion together with UNDP, United Nations Development Program, to create conditions for peace at local level across South Sudan by, for example, establishing around 130 peace committees in which community members participate to resolve conflicts. And this project also addresses the psychosocial trauma that conflict-affected people may have through trauma healing and psychosocial support to enable development of non-violent conflict resolution.
Mm.
So these are some of the things that we are doing.
Mm-hmm. Right. Well, thank you so much for bringing us to speed. We only have 2 minutes and we'll look at the news headlines very briefly and we'll come back to the interview. But of course, as we wait for that time to come, what would you say have been some of the challenges that you have had to face while implementing these projects? In a minute, and then we'll go to the headlines and return. Would you like to go first, Marcus, and then?
Yes. Yeah. Some of the challenges are, of course, the complex context in which we operate in, which is affected by natural conditions and conflicts, which sometimes creates a bit of issues for our partners. I would say that is one of the challenges.
Mm. Yeah, of course. I mean, we have the context here with conflicts, the flooding, and also the lack of accessibility around the country. But we have very good partners that we are working with, and that's, I think, our added value. We don't implement the project. We work through the UN organization, the World Bank, and civil society organizations here.
Mm-hmm. Right. Thank you so much. Yes, we still have seconds there, but how have you managed to maneuver through the fact that, to get to those hard-to-reach areas? I know you work with UN agencies, but yes.
I think one of the problems is that we sometimes have very many actors and many different donors. They have conditions that they are working with and the lack of flexibility, and therefore we are trying to approach some kind of a local based approach where the needs and the rights of the people on the ground are directing the way how we work, and therefore working with UN agencies and so on to learn how to do that in a better way. And what we need to do is to move from high dependence on humanitarian assistance towards long-term development. And that's the big challenge, I think, because the current model that we have is not sustainable.
Right.
And that's what we are trying to do.
Right. Thank you so much, Thomas. We'll be back with more conversations around activities by the Swedish Embassy. It's time for the news headlines.
101 FM. Breakfast Show News Headlines.
It is 8:30 on the news headlines. The governor of Central Bank, Johnny Ohisa, says diversification of the economy is the only conclusively way to rescue the runaway inflation as oil revenue becomes unreliable. Speaking on the Breakfast Show a few minutes ago, Ohisa said that the bank will also continue to auction US dollars as a short-term measure to mop out excess local currency in the market. Well, the National Elections Act 2012, Bill 2023 and three other bills have been tabled before Parliament for debate. Well, the other bills presented include the South Sudan Anti-Corruption Commission Act 2009, Amendment Bill 2023, the National Revenue Authority Act 2016, Amendment Bill 2023, and the Tourism Bill 2023, respectively. Well, finally, reports coming out of Lekstad indicate that at least five teachers were arrested during a protest in Rumbek East County last week. Well, the peaceful protest was staged by students from more than 20 schools demanding payment of salary arrears as incentives for their teachers. Well, that's it for the news headlines. At the top of the hour, we'll be looking at the full news bulletin in English. My name is Irene Lasu, and welcome. You're listening to the Miraiah Breakfast Show. Well, this is where the nation's biggest conversations begin every morning. In the studio with me to talk about that Swedish National Day is the head of office at the Swedish Embassy, Thomas Brodin, and program specialist Marcus Larsson. Yes, before we went for the news headlines, Thomas, you were still telling us about the complexity and how hard it is for you to implement some of the programs. Are there more challenges that you would like to add?
Yeah, I mean, this country, this beautiful country is fantastic. I mean, we have so many resources here, natural resources. It's fertile. We have wildlife. There are culture diversity, and that can be used. And I was happy to hear that the Commission of Anti-Corruption here, that things are going to move, because think about if we can get rid of the corruption, we can get rid of the conflict and the flooding, how this country can flourish. It can actually be the breadbasket of the whole region. And I do think that we need to move from an unsustainable humanitarian support and dependence that the country has now. We are doing the same thing over and over again, year after year. So we need to move from that towards development and later on trade.
Right.
And then here the government, of course, has a huge responsibility of taking more responsibility for its citizens when it comes to service delivery. And I do must commend the government for what it has done now in opening the borders for refugees and returnees from Sudan, and also for the President Salva Kiir's engagement for solving the crisis in Sudan. But I think Marcus has much more knowledge and talking about the challenges that we have.
Yes, Marcus.
Thank you. Well, I think you have covered it quite well, Thomas. And I think in addition, what we, to tie back a little bit to what I started off with, when we, so for the Swedish government, gender equality is a high priority in our development collaboration. And that is also why we are working on sexual and reproductive health and rights. And what we have seen through our collaboration, of course, one challenge is the pervasive social norms around especially women and girls' rights. But we are working with partners who are rooted in the community, who together with the community members engage in transformational work around attitudes, knowledge, and practices around women's rights, women's empowerment. And of course, in that work, we have addressed the gatekeepers, but also, not the least, men themselves, involving men, young men, as key actors in enabling a more equal society.
Right. Yes, Marcus, and I believe that you have interacted with local people to some extent. What would you say are their immediate needs?
Well, in, generally speaking, I think the immediate needs, you need to have access to basic public services is one of the needs. Education, livelihoods, health. Because when you have access to these public services, you also develop resilience, and you can also participate in different activities in the public sphere.
Right.
Let me take an example. I went with the UNFPA and the national NGO Hope Restoration to Bentiu once, and there we saw the Hope Restoration spoke about flooding, the conflict, and the lack of wood. So women had to walk 10 hours to get wood. Through that, they had to walk through high water, getting infections, and also met bad men, as they explained. So they were raped. And then, because of the social norm that Marcus talks about, they couldn't talk about it.
Right.
So therefore, we inaugurated. I went there with the Minister of Gender and Children's Social Welfare, and inaugurated a safe space center for women where they could do forensic, where they could talk about it, and where they could advance these rights. So that's one example, I think, that shows the complexity of what we are trying to do. But we are quite big. We had like invested 70 million US dollar last year in South Sudan in humanitarian assistance, but mainly in long-term development.
Right.
So we have been here a long time. We will remain engaged.
Hopefully. Well, thank you so much, gentlemen, for making time to speak to us this morning. But as you celebrate this important day, what is your message to South Sudanese who are patiently waiting for the full implementation of the peace agreement, Thomas?
Well, thank you for raising that question. Actually, everything what we do is related to the implementation of the peace agreement. The people of South Sudan has the right to vote for its own leaders, and choose its own leaders and express that through elections. And so what we are trying to do is support the South Sudan, the government, to take more responsibility, to implement the peace agreement, and then moving towards democratic development with clear accountability mechanisms all over. So that's what we are trying to do. It's not easy, but we are here to stay, and you can count on Sweden to be a solidary, very partner with the government of South Sudan, the people of South Sudan, and also a critical voice when it's needed.
Right.
Because when we have experienced 500 years of democratic development in Sweden, with human rights, division of powers and rule of law, and we can use that in our dialogue, because the culture diversity that we have is a richness. We have in Sweden 5 different minorities, official ones. 400,000 people speak Arabic, 200,000 speak Finnish, and this is a richness, and that's why we can develop. And we think that South Sudan has the same thing, a lot of cultural diversity, and this is a richness. That's why we have encouraged people to wear the traditional dresses today at the national celebration. We'll see if they come with it. I will definitely have one.
Hopefully. Thank you so much, Thomas Brudin. And Marcus, anything to add?
I think it has been very well covered by Thomas. Thank you so much for having us here.
Right. Thank you so much for your time. And enjoy your National Day.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having us.